Welcome to Security on the Bayou. I'm your host, Chris Adkins. A recap of today's security news and why it matters to you. Hello folks, it is Friday, May 3rd, 2019, and here is today's security news. First, let's start with securityboulevard.com from Michael Vizard. Title is, McAfee Survey Finds IT at Cybersecurity Fault Most. First things first, the headline's terrible. I clicked it because it said McAfee, and it intrigued me to try to figure out what the hell he's talking about. So here it is. This week, McAfee published a survey they conducted of 700 professionals working in organizations with over 1,000 employees entitled Grand Theft Data 2. All right, if you've been in the industry long enough, you know what these reports are going to boil down to, right? They're going to try and sell you something at the end of the day. But what I want to bring up, which is interesting about this report, is something that hasn't come up before, but is probably 100% spot on. The report finds 52% of respondents claim IT is at fault when data leakage event occurs versus 29% who cite business operations. So essentially what they're saying, all these IT professionals, is that more often than not, it's the IT professional fault and it's not the user, which is a common in this industry. It's extremely common to try and blame the user for our issues, right? One of the reasons that this number is higher is that there's more opportunity for an IT professional to mess something up. All it takes is one misconfigured server, right? And then there you go. You may have a back door open and boom, data leak, right? So this, this directly speaks to, you hear it all the time, people process technology, right? For sort of the people part of thing, we know what we got to do there. It's all about training and building these people up to make sure they have the right skill sets. But if they don't have the right processes in place to help them, then, they're screwed. All right. So I think that's it here. This article goes on to talk about, CASBs and EDR tools, all of which are things that, McAfee would love to sell you. So let's move on from there. Speaking of people, process, and technology, the next one, big one, coming out of the White House today. This is from Tripwire.com, although you could find this probably anywhere. It's going to be on CNN, Fox News, all over the place. President Trump signs EO to bolster federal digital security workforce. This one by David Bissen. So President Trump has signed an executive order on America's cybersecurity workforce. So they realize that there is a skills gap within the cybersecurity workforce, whether it be in the federal government or even in the public sector. So they're doing a few things. Obviously, this is more about the federal government. They are going to develop a digital security rotational program within 90 days. This platform purpose is to enable federal IT and digital security practitioners to receive temporary assignments in the Department of Homeland Security and vice versa, thereby facilitating the exchange of knowledge, training, and experiences. So this is something that gets talked about in good practice all the time within a security organization, is that you should be rotating people around. 9 times out of 10, it never happens. So this is the White House making that happen for these folks. So this, in my opinion, nothing but good can come from this. 90 days to create that program and make a sustainable program seems a bit far-fetched, but, more power to them, see if they can get it done. If done correctly, this can do a lot of good for the federal cybersecurity workforce. And this is not just which is pretty interesting. I'm curious to see where this goes. It's called the President's Cup Cybersecurity Competition, which is going to be not just for government employees, but also it sounds like they're going to let third-party contractors that are in the cybersecurity space compete in this as well. So they're talking about, cash prizes, days off, which if you've never been in the military or the federal government, that's a thing. They award you with a day, a week off or whatever. I'd rather have the cash personally. And then another thing they're doing, which is not listed in this article, but is, I saw in another one I read, was that they're also going to start doing some programs where they're going to award elementary and junior high teachers for their accomplishments and cybersecurity education, which I think is great. Start them young, right? I mean, this industry is new enough now that this quote-unquote cybersecurity, that most of the people that are in their prime, if you will, this is stuff that came about when they were late in high school or college, right? This didn't necessarily exist at that time. And those that have been around for quite a while, you know, they started out as IT folks. They were not cybersecurity, quote-unquote, people. So I think this is good stuff. I really hope this works. I'm rooting for it. It should be good. We'll see what happens. Next. This is a long article. I'll give you a quick recap of it, some things I pulled out that I thought were interesting. But go read this. This is a sort of an expose. This is from Wired.com. A mysterious hacker group is on a supply chain hijacking spree by Andy Greenberg. Yeah, I guess they're mysterious, but you're going to know the name. Either known as Barium, Shadow Hammer, Shadow Pad, or Wicked Panda. So that right there, Wicked Panda, should give you an idea of where these folks are based. So these are the folks that would be blamed for hijacking the software update stuff from Asus, and then also this CC Cleaner tool issue. And so one of their tactic here is sort of a spray and pray tactic, where it harkens back to the Russian submarine force back in the day, where they didn't necessarily aim, they just shot as much as they could to hope to hit something and take something else out, right? So that's sort of what's going on here with their attacks, is they're just spraying it everywhere, collecting the data, see what they have that looks interesting, and then going after that. So it's a tactic that has worked in the past in many different things, not just cybersecurity, submarine warfare as well. And then in the article, they interviewed some folks, and you know, they claim to say that if they were to try and deploy a ransomware, sort of like NotPetya, it would be even more destructive around the world. So I don't necessarily disagree. I'd like to dig into that a little bit more before I really get into that. So those are the three articles for the day. One last thing, a quick update. The other day we talked about the ICS security stuff with California and Utah. Well, apparently some more information has come out. It's still a little fuzzy here, but there was a denial of service attack, but no service was disrupted. No service or production was disrupted. So why that report was filed, we're still kind of unsure. I guess within the organizations in these states, everybody's pointing fingers, say, hey, we didn't do it. Did you guys do it? Who filed this thing? Where did it come from? So there's some question as to what happened here, but it appears that it was a denial of service and there was no disruption to service or production. So I think all's well that ends well on that one. There's clearly some process and procedure issue that they've got to figure out there. All right, folks, thank you. It is Friday, May 3rd, and this is Security on the Bayou. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. We will talk again on Monday.